following program is a collection of Stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm your host. All right, it's Q&A time. First one of the new year. We had a great episode with Greg Masterson the other night. If you didn't get a chance to check it out, I think the guy had some awesome things to say. Man, go listen to that one. All right, jumping into this, you guys know it, you love it, the website, the best one in the detail industry, thedetailsolutionspodcast.com. Why is that the best one, Alex? Somebody asked me the other day. I was like, because it's the podcast one. I mean, come on, let's be honest with you. It's got all the links on where you can find us on social media, where you can listen to us. It has the new and improved preferred vendor page with our new ad sponsors. So just like the old ones, you guys go over there, check them out. We got some coupon codes for some mentions for the others, and right in the middle of the podcast, somebody's calling me. It's got the links to take you right to them, so you can spend a little bit of money, you can save some money, they'll continue to spend their money with us. We will bring you that funny in the year 2024 for that hashtag money funny. And then we also have the new drip shop. Go there and check out all the Concaster shirts and the hoodies and all that fun stuff that we normally have on there that nobody's buying, but it's there for when you want it. It's awesome. If you love watching these, if you're into watching long form podcasts or just want to see some of the things that we're talking about or doing, you can check that out over on our YouTube page, and that is the Detail Solutions Podcast. That's our channel. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button, all that fun stuff. And TikTok is where Jason's putting a lot of these reels that he's making from the clips. You can go check us out on the Detail Solutions Pod over on TikTok and see some of the cool moments. If you're not into watching the whole episode and you just want to catch the good parts. So on to saving you some more money. If you're coming to Mobile Tech Expo in beautiful Orlando, Florida, that is going to be February 1st through the 3rd. We do have a code. Go to mobiletechexpo.com. When you're purchasing your tickets, use the code DSP15. That'll save you 15% off of your passes, whether it's the education days or the expo days or both of them together. If you're planning on staying at the Rosen, you better jump on that. Everybody's telling me that the cheap rooms are already sold out. And it gets more expensive as the rooms go up. On top of that, we would really appreciate, I'm going to do a new goal in 2024. I'm going to beg you guys, going to plead with you guys. We know you love the podcast. We know you support the podcast. You heart it. You listen to it. We really appreciate all that. But we need you to be our army. You know, the KISS has the KISS army. We need the DSP army. We need you guys out there telling your friends, telling other detailers, share our links or our posts when we put these up on Facebook. There's already a great group of guys that reshare our episodes onto their personal. But I really want to make a point this year to ask you guys and gals that are listening to please do what you can to help us grow the podcast. If you're enjoying the podcast, if you like the things that we're doing, like the things that we're saying, please, you know, I mean, that's kind of how we're going to grow, is we need you guys to do it for us. We always say, please go like, share, follow, subscribe. And that's great. A lot of you guys do that. We have a ton of followers on Spotify, but they don't equal out to the listens, you know, so not everybody's going and following us, but then everybody's not listening. And I get it, you know, sometimes it's hard to catch up on all of them or whatnot, but that's going to be my plea for you, for the listeners this year, is, you know, just please tell everybody you know about us, especially if you enjoy it. You know, we talked about reviews the other day with Greg, for your business and how those, you know, really help out and grow your business. Well, we need that word of mouth from you guys to grow this podcast to where we can get over the hump that we're at and start getting into some bigger and better things. So please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell wherever you're listening to us. Please leave us a 5-star review, but more importantly, go tell your friends, go share it. Let's blow this thing up. Let's kill every other podcast out there. Let's just do it. Let's make it a huge year for us. All right. Tonight's guest is Donnie Anderson. This guy is a huge supporter, so I'm excited to have him on and get to know a little bit more about him. So we'll be right back with Donnie after these commercials. Is your ultimate partner in automotive detailing. Elevate your detailing game with our premium microfiber towels and applicators, meticulously crafted for protection. Unleash the power of precision and achieve that showroom shine. Autofiber, where innovation meets immaculate finish. Upgrade your detailing experience today. Visit autofiber.com and use the code DSP for 10% off your order. The difference is in the details. All right, we're back with Donnie, man. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Alex? Happy
New Year. Good, buddy. Good, man. How you doing today?
Pretty good, man. Just getting done with work and getting turned in with you. So,
dude, that's awesome, man. I appreciate you doing this, man. You're first guest of 2024 for the Q&As, man. Congrats.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's cool. I'll definitely always remember that. That'll be cool.
Yeah, man. So listen, man, you know, the only questions I really come to the table with are, you know, is what, where, when, how, why did you get into detailing?
Oh, wow, man. This goes all the way back to probably my childhood. My grandma, actually, she had an old 1983 big Buick LeSabre, and she finally decided that she wanted to get rid of it one day. My dad had bought me a Ford truck, which I didn't really want to drive, so my grandma gave me the Buick LeSabre, and I think I was about 16 then, and I think I washed that thing every single day. I got some chrome rims, put them on there, and I was washing the rims, polishing the rims every day. Neighbors kept coming up to me and saying, I think you're going to wash the paint off that thing one day. So it really just, the love of it started then. My dad got me some like the greasers and stuff and showed me how you can clean the tires, how you get the bugs off the front end. I mean, this was like in the 90s and stuff.
Right.
Wow, this is awesome. So I always liked how the car looked after I got finished with it. You know what I mean? So it kind of just grew from there. Always took care of every car I had growing up. It got to a point, I think it was probably like 2000, 2002, something like that. I moved into my first apartment with a roommate. He was a bell bondsman, actually, but he wanted to start a side business. His dad bought him a van, threw him a water tank inside, and had a pressure washer. And they told us to go out there and just start going to people and washing their cars on site. And this was early 2000s. It just blew my mind that they came up with this idea. So I kind of went around helping him. We did it for maybe a year or so. I really liked it. I really liked going to different locations and seeing these people doing their cars and stuff like that. It didn't really take off with his business. He wasn't really too serious about it. That's kind of when my dad kind of came to me. He was like, we can buy you with just like a little old Chrysler minivan. We'll pull out the carpet and everything. We'll put you a little pressure washer in there. If you want to go work, he said, I'll give you the money to go do it as long as you work. I'm like, okay. So we did that. I remember it was called Nonstop Mobile Detailing. And I had, you remember those rims that kept spinning?
Yeah.
I had some of the hubcaps that kept spinning. So everybody knew me as the mobile detail guy back in the day that had the spinning hubcaps on his van, and you know, it was called Nonstop Mobile Detailing. But that was out in Longview, Texas, where I'm originally from. I'm in DFW, Fort Worth, Texas now. But I kind of did it for a little bit. The town was small out there. I think the population is probably like 70, 80,000 people. I did pretty good just to make like my money, you know what I mean? Just to kind of do my stuff on the side, party and all that stuff. But it got to a point where I was starting to grow up, you know what I mean? And needed more money. And everybody always just kept telling me, hey man, you should move to Dallas. You know how many people are up there and how many cars they would want done and all that stuff. So I just kind of made the decision one day because I always loved coming up to Dallas and Fort Worth and everything for the weekends, just the party and stuff like that. So kind of just moved up to Fort Worth one day because actually I found me a real cheap apartment and just kind of decided to move up here and kind of start it over and got a new van. We bought one off Craigslist because when I first started, I never thought this was going to take off or anything. I was just doing stuff for money, basically.
Right.
So we got a new van. We'd buy like $800 vans off Craigslist or whatever and kind of run them so they didn't run no more. Go get another van. And just kind of started from there. And then that's kind of like when Craigslist started coming out, like right when I moved up here. I just kind of advertised on Craigslist about, I think it was like you could advertise every 48 hours for free. And it would bump your little advertisement back up to the top. And that's all I did. Somebody suggested it and I posted on there once. And then it took off from there. Everybody just started calling me like crazy. This was before Facebook was really getting popular and everything. Google ads and all that stuff. I don't think it existed yet. I'm not even sure what year that started. But so it kind of just took off from there. I got a few customers that they kept using me. And I've had some of these customers almost 10 years now. Probably some of them probably 12 years now. I have one customer that found me off that Craigslist ad was this dealership. They just moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They're known as Streetside Classics. It's basically if you have like a classic car and you want to sell it, you take it to them and they do a consignment sale.
Right.
And they got a hold of me. They wanted me to come up there and test me basically to see how I would detail the cars and everything. They got up there and they told me that they had tried like five other companies. And after using me, they decided they wanted to go with me. And that's really when everything kind of took off from there. That's when the money started rolling in. A lot more recommendations came through. Just kind of took off from there. I've been a mobile business ever since 2019. Moved into a shop this last year. Kind of didn't really work out with the location and everything, so I kind of moved back to my home base garage, which is a lot better. It's about like $3,000 less a month, cheaper.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm back to just kind of doing the mobile thing. So I do mobile pool details and then mobile maintenance details, and then I bring like the ceramic coatings, paint corrections to my home garage, and then just kind of been going from there. I've been in business about 14 years now.
Dude, that's awesome, man. And you know, and I mean, I've seen a lot of the things you do. I mean, you're doing some pretty nice cars out that way too, you know? So, I mean, that's pretty cool. Cause especially, you know, I thought you were all mobile. So it's kind of cool to hear that, you know, you do have the home shop kind of thing. Cause I was like, man, Donnie's out there killing these like badass cars and he's a mobile guy. Not to say that mobile guys can't do, you know, badass cars or whatever, but you typically don't, you know, see that because again, like, you know, to do that, those caliber of jobs or whatever, you need, a lot of times to be in like a garage or a shop or something like that. So,
yeah,
man, dude, that's badass. You've been kicking it for that long, man. You don't look like you've been in business for 13 years, you know?
Yeah, man, I'm finally starting to get some wrinkles on my forehead. I just turned 40, man, but everybody tells me I look young, but I've been at it 14 years now. It's crazy.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, because I mean, I still feel like I'm a baby at it. Because I mean, we're 8 years now with the shop, but you know, I was like 25 years at the car wash. So
right,
I've been in it for a long time, but I still feel like I haven't been in it for a long time. You know, like I still feel like I'm real new to it and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Back in Longview, before I moved back up here, before I started all that mobile stuff, I also worked at a car wash too. So, like I said, I've been in this pretty much since 16 years old, voluntarily, because I've just been in love with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's something I actually started loving and then didn't know that I could actually one day maybe do this as a money making thing.
Right. You know what
I mean? And now I actually sustain a whole life from it. So, it's kind of mind blowing. So.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. So when was the change from, what was it, Never Ending Detail?
Nonstop.
Yeah, so when did it go from Nonstop Detail to the wash dock?
That was like 2003, I would say. So I was Nonstop, and then I moved up here about 2005. And because I didn't have the mobile business going once I moved up here, because I wanted to start fresh and do a whole new thing. Back then, it wasn't going to make it up here, so I just wanted to start fully fresh and everything. So I moved up here and then kind of got things going. And then once probably got about 2009, my numbers are off. I think it was 2009 is when I moved up here and got everything going. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Is there any semblance or reason for the wash dock or just?
That's funny. Everybody asks me that. It all goes back to just me being. It was back in Longview, Texas. There was a locksmith company, and I always saw their vans going around everywhere, and they were called Lock Dock.
Okay.
That's the story.
It's crazy, right? Like how some of those things just kind of stick with you, and then like. You know, you're like, oh man, that was such a cool name. Like, you know, like,
right.
how can I do something kind of like it or whatever? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it was kind of weird at the time because when I came up with it, I was like, oh man, because this was like kind of back then, I guess people were still kind of using phone books and stuff. And I'm like, oh man, I'm using wash stock and that's going to be like the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thankfully, like, that's when everything with the social media and the internet started off. So it kind of just picked me up from there and took me.
If the phone book was still around, you would need to be like wash dog. the more A's, the higher you got up. And I remember like, you know, you'd always see like, you know, A so and so, and then all of a sudden somebody got smart and was like A so and so, and they'd be higher, and it was like AAA, and it was like quadruple A. It's like it's always neat to kind of learn, you know, how people got their names. I mean, I was very fortunate. One of my buddies actually gave me the name Detail Solutions. And I was like on the fence about it. I was like, what, really? And he goes, think about it, dude. You're the solutions to the detail problem.
Exactly.
And I was like, ah, yeah, okay. You know, and then, you know, when it came time to come up with a name for the podcast, and I was just super lazy, and I was like, well, it's good enough for my shop. It's good enough for the podcast, which, you know, it kind of still fits. You know, we're solutions for detailing, you know, questions and things on the podcast. So, you know, hopefully we're bringing you detail solutions on the podcast. So, it's always interesting sometimes, you know, how people come up with their names, or, you know, what was the deciding factor or the, you know, the spark or whatever. So that's pretty neat. It's after a locksmith.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I kind of went from. I'm just like, I was just thinking, what could I do? And this was like back in, like I said, 2009, I was coming up with the name, and I still didn't think it was going to take off and be what it's become now.
Yeah.
I probably would have tried to put a little bit more thought into the name. But yeah. I've got so far now that it would be insane to change it now with all the branding and everything.
Nah, man, I think you need to dive like headfirst into it and like show up with like a doctor's coat on, yeah. You know, like
you know,
the old school little like shiny light thing.
Yeah, my first business cards, they had an ambulance on them.
Oh, so nice.
Like that was my mobile van.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Just kind of stuck with that ever since. So.
No, that's fun, man. I mean, you could have a lot of fun with it or just kind of, you know, do it nice and plain and simple and everything. Yeah, it's always cool.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but being here in Texas, being a mobile detailer, like you said, it is hard doing some of these jobs being mobile. But like in the summertime here, it gets 110, 115 degrees. Oh, yeah. It's very hot. I'm sure you know you're in Florida. I'm sure it's about the same weather there.
Yeah.
You know how humid it gets and stuff. So it basically just boils down to having to use your brain when it comes to these jobs and stuff. I mean, just because you're a mobile detailer, don't mean you have to be outside detailing somebody's car just because you're going to be. You can go to them, pull their car in the garage, do a rinse and wash, anything. So. Like I said, I've been doing this for so long. It's just I have all these different solutions in my mind anytime something comes up that I'm not just going to cancel a job over. So I'll just figure out a way out to make it happen. You know what I mean? So
Right. How's the scene there in Dallas? I mean, I know a few guys that are kind of out that way. You know, I mean, is it getting pretty saturated out that way now? Or
it's gotten like crazy saturated. Like it used to be, you would search on Google mobile detailers, Dallas, Fort Worth area. You would find me, like Nick Chapman, Cody from New Image Detailing, a few others that would just be right there on the list.
But yeah.
You search that now, I mean, it's going to be scrolling. Because I have to eventually hire a marketing agency to help me, which has been doing a great job with like the SEO and stuff like that, because they finally bumped me back up, because after COVID and all that and the pandemic, I mean, everybody decided that they wanted to start their own business. And I mean, more power to everybody, because I mean, that's the same thing I did, but now it's just gotten harder. It's not like I can just exist anymore. You know what I mean? And the phone rings, I have to actually put more effort and time into this, like creating content, how everything's moved to the social media, doing the videos, the TikToks, the reels and all that. So I'm having to get comfortable being behind the camera. I've normally just been used to just posting the pictures. You know what I mean? Pictures aren't getting much reach anymore. So,
that's the crazy thing. That was the thing I had to learn with, when we had Sarah Carpenter on, from Incluse Media or Marketing, and she I've actually got her doing my social media stuff now, you know, and with her, you know, I'm just like what you said, right? Like I'm always just used to taking like a picture, you know, nice shiny glossy picture or whatever, you know, and now like she's like getting, and it's hard too, it's hard to break that habit, right? Like she's like pictures don't do it anymore. Like you need videos, you know, you need it to do reels or to do stories or whatever. And then, you know, I'm so used to doing, whenever I do a picture or do a video, I'm always in like landscape mode, right? Because you get the whole car in the picture, it looks nicer. And she's like, nope, that doesn't work for social media. You got to do it in portrait mode. And I'm just like, you know, the old dog.
I'm in portrait mode right now. Yeah. I figured that was what I needed to be in, but I guess I need to be sideways for this.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. But yeah, like that's the thing that, you know, it's like, it's still hard for me to do it. Like I'll start walking around a car and I'll be like, oh, God dang it. I'm in landscape.
Yeah.
You got, you know, go hit the stop button and go back and switch it to portrait mode or whatever. So yeah, listen, I mean, I think it's getting saturated everywhere. And I think it's, I mean, I don't know if it's just cause it's such a low bar of entry point in detailing or whatever. I mean, I've always, you know, kind of been like, you know, hey, listen, there's plenty of cars for everybody, but, you know, I feel like, you know, the one thing that I wish is that, you know, everybody would get on the same page with pricing, right? Because, you know, you got these new guys coming in doing it for like no money, you know, and then you don't know how they're surviving, and then you're charging your prices, which should be like considered normal prices, and people are like, oh my God, you know, it's so expensive, you know. Then you gotta try to like justify yourself, like why you're so expensive, you know.
Yeah,
it's crazy, man.
Yeah, I've been having to do that recently. Like you said, before the pandemic, and now all these businesses, all these new detail businesses started. The market was getting used to our normal pricing, because, like I said, all of our detailers around the area, we all talk to each other and we know what everybody's pricing was. So when somebody would call for a detail, they'd call me, and then they wouldn't like the price, and they're going to call somebody else, and they're going to hear. I mean, you know what I mean? They're going to hear the same exact price. It was around the same price.
Right. Yeah.
But after the pandemic and all these new companies and everything started, it's back to everybody's calling, oh my God, why is it that much fun? And then you have to sit there and sell yourself. And so, I mean, it got to be easy. And then I didn't realize all of a sudden that it was going to flip the script like it did. So it's not hard trying to keep back up, but I'm having, you know what I mean? I'm sure you're having to do the same.
Absolutely.
Paying attention from other people.
Yeah. I had some lady call me the other week and like was basically yelling at me about my pricing over the phone. Like, she made me feel bad that I was charging so much. She's like, I can't believe you're so expensive. Why are you so expensive? And I was like, that's my pricing, ma'am. And she's like, the other guy did it for $150. And I was like, I don't know. Maybe you should go to the other guy then, you know? Right. And I tried to justify myself and be like, you know, well, we charge accordingly because of our experience and the detailed service that we do. And she goes, well, the other guy did it just fine. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, ma'am. Maybe you should go get the other guy. You know, like, exactly. I was on the phone and I felt like I needed to, you know, like, go to somebody's, like, you know, show us on the doll where the bad lady touched you. You know? Like, I felt like I was attacked, man. Like, you know, it's like, you know, and then I'm like replaying in my head, like, God damn, man. Like, you know.
It makes you think, like, should I go reprice my house?
Dude, I mean, I think that constantly sometimes. I'm like, you know, I'm a firm believer in Fermani's, you know, raise your prices, you know, raise your prices. But like, because it's getting so cutthroat and everything, like, you know, part of me is kind of like, well, you know, shit, like, you know, should I maybe restructure? The economy's not the same as it was 3 or 4 years ago. You know, it's harder for people to spend that kind of money. You know, should I, you know, but then I always think back, like, the minute you drop your pricing, it's so much harder to raise it back up, you know, when you can. So, you know, now I'm trying to look for ways that I can maybe do cheaper pricing without like cutting myself off, right? Like, I'm not like, maybe I'll start just offering more one step and, you know, 2 year coatings for, you know, $1,000 or $1,200 versus a two step paint correction and a, you know, 5 year coating or whatever for $2,500. You know, maybe I'll try to offer a more entry level type service that I don't offer now to try and do that, you know, or maybe I start doing, instead of a $300 or $400 interior that I'm getting yelled at because the other guy did it for $150, maybe I do a $150 one and it's a straight vacuum and slap some Armorall, you know, type stuff on the doors and the dash or whatever, you know. Like, I'm trying to think, like, how do I do that without, you know, still working a ton of hours and cutting myself in price. But maybe I need to come up with a service that will meet those budget friendly type people. And I'm just going to get in there and do one of these, you know, blow and go type deals. So, yeah.
And basically what I've learned over all these years with the pricing and all that stuff, it is, once you set your price, I mean, I think every business owner and every other, like, these podcasts I listen to, they all say that you should make at least $100,000 a year. So I base that into my pricing, and then that makes it where it's going to be about, like, I would have to charge $100 an hour.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much where the baseline is for detailers to make about $100 an hour. And then that maybe leaves them with maybe about $40, $50 to take home in profit an hour.
Yeah.
So So when I think about that, and people want me to go cheaper on the price, it's just I keep thinking that in my head, and I'm like, I don't want to go out and work for 8 to 10 hours and come back home with $300. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm going to be out that long, I want to come home with my allotted amount that I need to make for that day.
Right. So,
it's got to the point, like you said, where maybe you want to start offering cheaper services instead of like lowering the prices. That's what I was thinking of doing too. When I first started out, I had an express detail package.
Yeah.
It was just like a quick car wash, a vacuum, wipe down, door jams, no sealants or anything like that, besides maybe like something you dry with, you spray it and then dry it at the same time. Nothing fancy like that. But the problem that I had with that package is everybody wanted to choose that package, of course, because it was the cheapest.
And then right.
Like wrecked cars, you know what I mean, that would need the full detail package.
Yeah.
So I eventually just got rid of that package and just went to full details only. So if somebody calls me, the full thing's getting done. They're not going to come back out and complain, why didn't the seats get done? Why didn't the floor get done? No. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't included in that package. You didn't choose that package. So yeah. I just got rid of that and then just stuck with my like full entry level one detail package is what I call it.
And that's kind of what I did with my interiors, because like if somebody was like, oh, I just need a seat done or I just need my carpets done, I'd be like, okay, yeah, sure. You know, $50 here, $75 there, like whatever. But like I started running into that same problem, right? Like I had one lady who she calls me up and she was looking to get her seats and carpet shampooed. You know, hot water extracted, whatever. So I'm like, yeah, quote her a price. She's good with it. Drops the car off, blah, blah, I get done. She comes to get the car. And then she's like, oh, well, you didn't do the doors.
Yeah.
I was like, we didn't talk about the doors. You said carpets and seats. She goes, well, I thought you were going to do like the doors and the dash and everything too. And I was like, no, ma'am. Like, that's an interior detail. You didn't want that. You know, so now I've just gotten to the point where, you know, somebody goes, hey, I need my carpets done. I'm like, good. Our full interior detail starts at this price. Well, I just want my carpets done. No, sorry. We don't offer that service. We only, and here's the reason why, because if I do your carpets and then you're going to be like, oh, well, I thought you were going to do this, or I thought you were going to do that. And it's just not the way we do it anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, even if I was to offer a cheaper, more budget friendly, you know, express style interior, it would still be an interior. It just would be, like I said, like a vacuum everything and then a wipe down, you know, kind of deal. It wouldn't be any kind of, you know, cleaning or extracting or any of that stuff. So, yeah, you know, it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've been on the fence about it just because part of me says, yeah, let's try it. And then the other part of me is, you know, I always say to Michelle, you know, I don't want the McDonald's client. I want the Chris client.
That's right? that's my thing too. Yeah.
And I feel like if I start doing those, you know, more budget friendly type services, I'm going to start getting a lot more of the McDonald's clients, you know, that are like, you know, then they start nitpick. You know how it is, dude. You do something cheap for somebody, it's like their max budget, but it's really cheap for you. And then,
right.
And then you spend 30 minutes with them walking around the car. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? How come this didn't come out? You couldn't do a little bit extra on this part, you know? Whereas like the Ruth Chris guy comes up and he looks at it, he's like, holy shit, man, this thing looks better than when I bought it new. Here's the cash, here's the credit card, whatever. And they're gone, right? Like
You know,
they're done. So.
Yeah, so that makes a whole lot of sense. I had a client a couple of weeks ago. They wanted their little BMW SUV detailed, and he was just pinpointing all the stuff out that he wanted to get done. And I told him the price, and it was going to be about $400. And he was like, "Oh my God, that's so expensive!" And then they wanted he came back out and wanted the headlights done, and I'm like, "Well, I'll add probably another $100 on there because they're pretty foggy." So it ended up being like $500. But his wife came out, and I mean, she came out with pretty much like the white glove treatment. Sat there for about 20 minutes, her walking around the car, and I'm thinking in my head, this is why I charge what I charge.
Yeah.
You know I mean, I just worked on this car for 4 hours, and they're already back out here making sure the thing, asking why the rock chips and stuff aren't fixed. You know what I mean? And I'm having to explain that there's nothing I can do for that. You know what I mean? So it's just about, I bet you hear everybody say it, setting expectations. So
if
I ever did get back into like that express style of detailing, I'd probably have to spend like 20 minutes before I touch the car explaining what I'm not going to do.
Exactly. You almost have to go like, hey, you know when you go to the car wash and they clean it for you, but you go home and you still need to clean it a little bit more? That's what that service is going to be. I'm going to clean it, but you're probably going to go home and clean it a little bit more.
If I switch back to those express $125, $175 details, it's just a lot on my body. I don't have any employees or anything. I've had maybe one or two employees for like a few months here and there. But that was it. But with it just being me and just I'm having to rely on my own body, I'm trying not to put myself through too much every day. So I just try to stick to maybe like two or three cars. But if I went back to the express detail, and then, you know what I mean, that's going to be, I'm going to have to be out around the whole Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, which is hour drive around this whole place, you know what I mean?
Right.
So usually 30, 45 minutes to a customer. So I don't want to do like 10 of those a day, you know what I mean? So all it takes is traffic to get backed up, and then your day is wrecked. So
yeah,
exactly. To two or three, it's a lot more maintainable. So
yeah, exactly. Well, listen, let's jump into a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
Bon is a leading provider of tent, paint protection film, and ceramic coatings. Experience the transformation as you cool down your vehicle and elevate its curb appeal with Autobahn's window tint. Ditch rock chips and scratches by fortifying your paint with Autobahn's cutting-edge paint protection film. And for an additional safeguard, add a ceramic coating. Backed by an unwavering lifetime warranty, Autobahn's products form automotive armor with no limits. Visit AutobahnFilms.com to delve deeper into the realm of automotive care and protection. So let me ask you about that. I mean, when you're driving around and everything, obviously being mobile, how hard is it for you, to try and schedule out your day, right? Because I mean, I'm sure you go like, okay, so this vehicle should take me 4 hours to do. Like, I could squeeze in like one more in the afternoon, but I've got like this much of drive time and then this much to work on it. But what if the first one takes you more than 4 hours, and then now you're cutting into your drive time, cutting into your getting there? I mean, is it pretty tricky, or you kind of have it down now? And I only ask that because I don't do mobile, so I don't really know that. I just show up at the shop and I'll call you when it's done, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. When I got the shop, that was a whole nother like animal to play with all that stuff. But like you said, I've been doing this mobile for so long, I've just figured out little tricks here and there to make everything work. So it's basically gotten down to where it's like, I guess you would say like the cable guy or the internet guy that comes and gives like a little window or whatever.
Gotcha.
So I don't ever like, if I have somebody set like the afternoon time, I usually give them like a window. Unless it's a morning appointment where it's the first appointment of the day, I'm like, I'm going to be there at 7 a.m. I'm going to be there at 8 a.m. And then but like the second person or whatever I schedule for the day, I usually tell them, so I have a first appointment. It's going to take me about 4 hours. I'll be out in Dallas. You're in Fort Worth, so once I get done with them, I'll give you about an hour heads up notice before I head your way. But I would just estimate about 1, 2 p.m. on arrival.
Okay.
And start from there. The main problem that I usually face is, say, I get to a morning appointment and the car's wrecked.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a lot more time than I was expecting.
Yeah.
So a lot of times like that's when I have to actually like reschedule people or stuff like that, and it gets kind of tricky there. So that's really the only tricky point right there, was if some vehicle's really wrecked. So
yeah, have you ever gotten out to an appointment and then you're like, you know, like you said, like it's wrecked and you know it's going to take way longer, that you're like, look, I can't, there's no way I can get this done today. Like, we need to, you know, reschedule it or something like
that. I've had to do that a long time.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, this is going to take me all day. This not only allowed in the morning, I've got other appointments I have to be at. So usually I have to reschedule that, the wrecked car, you know what I mean?
But how does that?
I talk to the customer and get their expectations and try to get but all their stuff, try to figure out, you know, everybody wants to say, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But it really is that bad. But usually when they're telling me all this stuff on the phone, I can usually tell when it's pretty bad. So
right.
I know, oh, I'm going to have to bring the extractor. I'm going to have to bring everything. And it's probably going to be a 4 or 6 hour type of detail. So
yeah.
I've just gotten pretty good with just kind of estimating it like that.
No, that's good. And they usually take it pretty good if you tell them, like, hey, look, this is way more wrecked than you said it was. And,
yeah.
You
know,
we got to reschedule. It's going to cost more. Like,
yeah. Like sometimes I'll offer like a 10% off or something like that, just because if we have to reschedule or something like that. Usually anytime I have to reschedule a customer, I try to do an incentive or give them like a discount off or a free service or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
And then you just like call up your second client and be like, hey, so I can get to you quicker, or you just
call
back home.
Yeah. I'm like, I just got freed up saying right now. Everybody's like, come on, bring it on.
Nice.
Everybody's usually waiting on me whenever they set up an appointment. So it's always kind of exciting. But being mobile like this, it's like I said, I got the shop last year and I had the mobile thing going. The mobile thing's been going for 14 years. And then I tried to move to the shop. And that's a whole different animal. I applaud everybody that's got a shop out there, especially if you're mobile and you're doing the shop at the same time, especially by yourself. Because I had the shop and it just pretty much became like an expensive storage unit, basically.
Yeah.
My mobile thing all day. I couldn't find nobody really to hire yet. That's going to be a whole other process for my business. I don't know if I'm just going to go into all that with hiring bukus of employees. I might just hire one guy here eventually. It's what I really want to do. I was just out all day doing mobile jobs, and then the shop was just sitting there. And then normally I have maybe like a ceramic coating and correction, maybe like 3 or 4 a month. I mainly do more like pool details, maintenance details, stuff like that. And then a few paint corrections and ceramic coatings a month, trying to up that up a little bit more so I'm not beating up my body so much.
Right. But
I needed somewhere to bring like the big trucks and the big stuff that wouldn't fit in my garage, basically. That was what I was getting tired of, because a lot of people were calling, wanting to bring me their big jacked up trucks, and I couldn't fit it in my garage. So that was the whole
thing. Yeah.
I was trying to get a shop, but it ended up being too much more money for me. I had to move. The shop is 10 minutes away from my house, but it's in a different city. So that city is a very low income city, and they weren't having it with my prices and my services and all that, you know what I mean? So it was having to start completely over with SEO, Google, everything. It shot me all the way on the bottom of the list. That's why I had to eventually get with the Detailers Movement that helped me with the SEO services, because I didn't have any idea how to do this. I tried to keep up with the My Google, and I post on Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. I was doing that before already, just on my own. But then it started getting a little bit more complicated with the post times and everything else. So I needed to delegate some of the hats I wear to somebody else. So that was the reason for doing that.
Yeah, and that's why I really appreciate Sarah doing all that stuff for me, because you know, she gets paid to know like when's the right time to make a post and what's the right, you know, keywords and how the algorithm is working today. You know, did it wake up on the right side of the bed, or did it wake up on the wrong side of the bed? How, you know, like, you know, she knows how to do all that stuff. And you know, me, I'd just be like, you know, it's like I'm on right now. There's probably a bunch of other people on right now. I'll make a post, you know.
Yeah.
doesn't mean that everybody's on right now.
Yeah. I just now figured out that thing on Facebook where you can make a post and it lets you schedule it. And I'm like, oh wow, that's very cool. So I can schedule a post like when I get home late at night, and then I'll make it where it posts like at noon or lunchtime the next day where everybody's off for lunch and looking at their phones, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I get what you're saying about the shop just kind of becoming an expensive storage unit, because especially if you've got a bunch of mobile jobs booked and, you know, you're not booking in the shop, then yeah, it is just, you know, empty space that you're paying for that you're not using. That's kind of what I was going to ask you next, is like how hard is it to kind of balance like your mobile schedule versus the things that you're doing, you know, now in your home garage or whatever. Granted, obviously the home garage, I guess, doesn't cost you anything, you know, because it's home, but yeah. Still, like, you know, how do you, you know, I mean, do you just go like, okay, I've got a mobile job this day, and somebody says, hey, I need a ceramic coating, you're like, okay, well, cool, the next day I have open is this day, and then you're scheduling it at the house, or do you try to do it a little differently?
Yeah, if somebody I can go to somebody's house and do. I've done plenty of mobile ceramic coating jobs, as long as they got a shop or a garage for me to work in. I'm not just out there in the driveway trying to make it happen. That's pretty like in the trenches.
it's
a lot harder than it should be. But like normally I'll go do like mobile. I'll go to their garages and their little shops. Most of these people have shops and stuff with these classic cars and all that stuff. But if they want to bring it to me, which I've been trying to push a lot more here lately. I'll just schedule it, and they usually bring it to me like a night before. I'll just tell them, I'll get a hold of you once I finish my last mobile detail appointment of the day, which is usually about 6, and then they'll bring me the car about 6:30 or 7. We'll sit there and talk and go over the vehicle, go over expectations. I'll pull the car in the garage and leave it in there overnight, wake up, start on it, and I'll just usually leave a day aside, the whole day for them.
Yeah,
the way I have it priced, if somebody's going to need me all day, but then I'm charging that full price where I'm getting my daily pay, you know what I mean?
Right, so right.
I'm having to juggle all these mobile jobs while I have a ceramic coating job here at the same time. So I try to make it where if somebody's here, then I just stay here for that day. It's kind of more relaxed.
Yeah. So is it more harder working from home, the temptation to like go inside and flip on the TV or?
Yeah. When I'm mobile, I get somewhere and you know what I mean? Put the earphones in and get started and then you just go from there. Home, you're like, oh man, I could go grab a Oreo real quick, or I can go grab a honey bun, or let me go pet the dogs, I'm gonna take the crap real quick and all this other stuff. You know what I mean? When I'm on mobile, I'm just like going. You know what I mean? So a little bit more relaxed being at the house. But
long enough time
for it, it's fine.
Yeah, that was my problem. I did a couple of jobs here early on. Like one of my clients brought his boat here because it wouldn't fit in the shop, because my shop is kind of small, and he had a big 24-foot like center console or 26-foot center console or something like that. So I mean, it was a huge boat, even though it was, you know, kind of small. So he brought it here and I just worked on it in the driveway. But man, it was like every 10 or 15 minutes, like I was finding some reason to go inside. Haley was younger at the time too. So like when I did that, like, you know, instead of taking her to, I think she was in preschool at the time or whatever. So instead of taking her preschool, I'd let her hang out here at the house with me. So, you know, she was like maybe 4 or 5 or something like that, I think, when it happened. So, you know, there's a lot of me going inside, just checking on her, make sure she was, you know, watching TV or, you know, playing her games or something like that or whatnot, you know. Like you said, it gets real comfortable real quick, and then you come outside and you're like, you know, man, you know, whereas like you said, right? Like I'm at the shop, like I'm physically at a work location. I feel like I just put the headphones on, turn on the music, throw on a podcast or something like that, and then like it's head down and go, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I commend everybody who works from home, because like I said, I've done it a couple times and it's very hard to actually stay outside.
My wife will get home or something and she'll have some food or something. I just have to like put my head down and just not even acknowledge her.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's gonna make this 3-hour job take 6 hours. So I don't want to work all day. So you know what I mean?
Right.
As quick as possible.
Exactly. Well, listen, man, let's do our last commercial break, man, and we'll come back and we'll kind of wrap this up. Hour goes fast when you're having fun. So
yeah, man. Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
detailer knows what a detailer wants. Aquatech is a company founded by detailers for detailers.
Aquatech Coatings is a company that was founded on the frustrations that we all face as professional detailers. And that is why we set out to build a company that eliminates those frustrations, to provide excellent customer service, quality products, reliability, efficiency, products that check all the boxes as professional detailers we need and we want.
Find out why so many detailers around the world are loving the Aquatech difference. Join our team today at aquatechcoatings.com.
All right, man. So this is the question, the actual question part of the show, man. I think I need to come up with some new questions. So I don't know. We might be retiring these here shortly, but they work for a long time. Everybody seems to kind of enjoy them, hopefully. So
yeah,
you know, we'll kind of run with it, man. So the first one I always ask is, because I'm always curious, like, when did you realize your worth? Like, what was that aha moment, you know, that you realize, like, you know, hey, if I don't do more, charge better, something like that, I might as well just go flip burgers or whatever.
Man, I always actually remember this all the way back. So it was, I got started and I was going on my own for a few years, and then I was kind of just meet other local detailers. And this other local detailer, Cody from New Image Detailing, he actually called me and we made friends, and he was like, hey, you want to come help me on this job? And I wouldn't help him on a job. And then we became pretty good friends and just kind of worked from there together. And then, like, I was just noticing how much more he was charging for all these details, and people were just gladly paying. And then I was looking at my pricing, and then I was looking at his, and I was like, maybe I should charge more.
Yeah, you were the McDonald's guy. He was the Ruth Chris guy, right?
Exactly. I think that was his plan, you know what I mean? Yeah. Let me get this other guy that's kind of like in the water over here and kind of bring him up to speed, you know what I mean? But I learned a lot from that guy. He taught me about the pricing and all that stuff and the charge, how to charge what you're worth and everything. And then that's kind of where I've learned to charge what I'm worth, you know what I mean? Once I started learning the pricing, as like my pricing calculations, the cost of everything, my yearly costs, my weekly costs, you know what I mean? Started factoring all that down and started seeing what I'm really making truly per hour after taxes, after costs and everything. And just learning, hey, like you just said, I can go flip burgers and make the same amount and not kill my mom with the same process. So started watching videos, found Yivan on YouTube, and found a pricing calculation video, and kind of taught me how to do it from there. And then that's just kind of how I got from there. And I noticed that the pricing in this world just keeps on going up. So I need to make sure that I'm going to stay in business. You know what I mean? I told my customers real cheap prices, I'm not going to be there the next year to serve them. So if they really like me, you know what I mean, they're not going to want me to go out of business. So I need to charge what I'm worth and stay in business and still have a living myself.
Yeah. No, exactly. Okay. So this one's the fun one. So it's, you know, WrestleMania.
WrestleMania!
So you see UFC, it's, you know, boxing, whatever you're into. You know, you're standing at the top of the ring or top of the stage looking down at the ring. What's your fight song? What's that song that lets everybody know who you are, hypes you up, all that fun stuff?
Man, I already thought about this before I got on the episode. I was going to tell you, it's the Detail Solution Podcast theme song.
Nice. You're the second person to pick that one.
Every time I hear it, I'm dancing.
Yeah. Dude, I'll tell you what, man, if you guys aren't, you know, I would love to get with somebody with a system and have them play that song, because, dude, in my Bose, like, Quiet Control headphones, when I listen to the podcast, that shit hits, man.
Yeah, I got a system in my mobile van, so every time I crank it up on the theme song.
It thumps pretty good.
Yeah. Y'all did a good job on that, for sure.
Yeah, that was my buddy Justin. We grew up together playing guitars and skateboarding and all that stuff. He went on, I told this a million times, but he went on to co-found a Christian rock band called Fireflight. They were actually nominated for a Grammy after their first album. He's toured the world, and after about three or four albums, you know, he wanted to start a family, wanted to be home more, you know, and stop the traveling and whatnot. So he ended up leaving the band. So I originally had hit him up and was like trying to get him to do something, maybe with like some screaming guitars, you know, like we grew up on like 80s stuff, and he came up with that, and I was like, dude, that sounds so much better than what I was thinking. So
yeah,
you know, and it just had the kid, you know, it was her lyrics from way long time ago when she said I needed a theme song. So she just kind of, you know, sung it into voice memos, and I sent her, you know, singing the lyrics, because she had the music playing in her headphones, and then she just sung it into her phone on the voice memo. I sent that to him, and then he laid it on top and you know, put it all together and produced it and everything, and he had his son is the one that's like, like he had his son do that, and like, dude, he did a killer job, man. I was like, what do I owe you for? He's like, nah, we're friends, don't worry about it. I was like, dude,
oh man, that's awesome. Yeah, I've always wondered who was singing that and stuff like that. That's
it's Haley. It's all her lyrics, and then, you know, that's why we had her do the voiceover for the you know, the Gathering of Stooges, you know, the warning thing. I kind of stole it from Pat McAfee. You know, I thought it was cool that Pat McAfee had that. So we kind of stole it and changed a couple of words, you know, a little bit. So we didn't plagiarize the whole thing.
Right.
And I was like, well, you know, she already does the theme song. Why not have her read that too? So
yeah.
And it's, I listened to the Greg Masterson one today while I was working, and it was hitting in my headphones, and I was like, hey, I need to find somebody with some bass and all right. So the next one's the kind of the play on the you know, the five year, 10 years down the line kind of thing. So you know, if you're Samantha from Bewitched, you know, wiggle your little nose, make witchy things happen or whatever. If you could wiggle your nose right now and have your business be exactly where you see it being, whether that's next year, 5 years, 10 years or whatever, but you could have that right now, what does it look like to you?
Probably having some help, some employees, maybe, like I mentioned earlier, like having maybe one or two. The main thing that I'm kind of there already where I want to be with my business and everything. It's just the point of it just being only me by myself. So if something happens to me, everything stops.
Yeah.
So that's my main worry. That's what keeps me up at night as time goes on. So that would probably be my wish, to make give me some really loyal employees that I can count on, and kind of just have like a right-hand man or two. And that way, if I go down or we get a shop or something, I can actually have somebody there at the shop, and I can keep doing the mobile thing, or vice versa, send them out and just make it a little bit more comfortable until retirement, basically.
Nice. No, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's usually what most people want. They're looking to scale. They're looking to add people on, make it easier for them. All right. And then the new one, what's your death row last meal?
Oh man. Probably Mexican food. Mexican. Yes. Enchiladas, hot sauce and salsa, and rice.
From anywhere special or just?
Probably one of the local Mexican restaurants here. I don't know if they have it there. It's called Rio Mambo. Okay. I can probably eat that place every night.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Nice. Definitely Mexican food. Awesome,
yeah. Well, listen, Donnie, I mean, our hour went fast, man. I appreciate you coming on, doing this, being the first one for 2024, man. It was,
yeah.
I know we've chit chatted a little bit and messages and texts and stuff like that. You know, I want to thank you for stepping up and, you know, throwing down some money on Haley's cheerleading fundraiser.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad you didn't win. I thought it would be cool if somebody that I knew would have won it, you know. But I don't even know who won it. We just turned in all the money and you know.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, you know, some podcast listeners, some friends, some of my clients, like we raised a lot of money for her, for the team. So hopefully when they get their bid for Worlds, you know, hopefully the parents don't have to shell out too much out of pocket with all these fundraisers we're doing. So thanks again, man, for doing that. I really appreciate it. You didn't have to, and that was awesome that you did. So it was nice having you on. It's nice to, you know, kind of, you know, hear your story and whatnot. You know, if anybody wants to reach out to you or get to know you a little bit better or whatever, what's all your ats? You know, where are they going to find you at?
I'm on Facebook. Donnie Anderson's my name. My Washtalk Auto Detailing is my page on Facebook. I think it's at Washtalk Detailing on Instagram, at Washtalk Detailing on TikTok. Getting a YouTube going, so that's coming soon. I think there's maybe like one or two, three promo videos on there, but I'm going to try to get out of my comfort zone and start making more videos. So.
Nice, man. That's perfect. Well, listen, bud, I appreciate you doing this on a Friday night. I know you, you know, kind of hightailed it to get home in time to knock this out. So go get some dinner or grub or whatever you're doing and have a, you know, great rest of the day. And, man, we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem, man. All right, buddy. Take care.
All righty.
All right. All right, so that was Donnie. Like I said, great guy, man. We've chatted a lot through Messenger and texting. Again, like he stepped up huge when Haley was doing the fundraiser. Jumped in on that. That was awesome. I thought it was pretty cool. It's kind of neat to, you know, always hear how people, you know, got their start. I mean, we all got our start one way or the other. Most of us kind of got into it the same, you know, liked cars when we were younger, or, you know, we started at a car wash, or, you know, whatever. But even though we've all kind of come into it very similar paths, we've all had different journeys and different versions with it. So that's what I love about these. So we're off to a great start, I feel like, in 2024 again. My plea to you, you know, my big challenge this year is to, you know, tell everybody about the podcast, anybody that you think would get, you know, something out of it. If you're getting something out of it, you know, just casually mention it to friends, tell your friends like, hey, you're not listening to this yet. You should be listening to it. I really want to get us, you know, to some really, you know, incredible numbers this year. You know, we're trying to do something really cool. Hopefully I'll have a little bit more news by next week to, you know, start talking about it. We want to set ourselves apart from the other detailing podcasts that are out there. We kind of feel like we do, because nothing against those guys, but most of them are brands, you know, that are doing this. So they're just feeding you, you know, it's just a commercial for them. And we're very open to have everybody and anybody on. So we want, you know, you guys' help to push us to be, you know, to the, some great height. So please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell anywhere that you're listening to us. Go tell your friends, shout it from the mountaintops, send it in Morse code, you know, carrier pigeon, whatever you got to do. Just get us going. Help us out. And we appreciate all the support from everybody. You guys have a great day, night, weekend, whenever you're listening to this. My name's Alex Russell, and I'm begging you, let's make this thing big this year. Take care. Have a great night. Bye.